Ballinamuck is an important historic site, which may surprise many visitors on this trail. Why? It was the site of the last major battle fought on Irish soil. You should be standing in the middle of the village at the 98 Hall, where you see a cannon and statue. In the car park, you can find extensive information on the battle. The battle was fought between French and British forces following a landing by French forces under General Humbert, who'd landed in Mayo with his force of approximately 1,000 men in August 1798, expecting thousands of Irish men to rally to his group. This was not to be the case, despite assurances. However, following a victory at Castle Bar, hundreds did rally to the cause, as Pat Donnelly, local expert, explains why they were so ill-equipped.
Yeah, you see, the Irish weren't trained. Now, the militia that broke ranks to the Irish, they would be trained men. But there was a lot of them, their heart was in it, but they had no training. And they were handed on a crash course with weapons in a couple of minutes to learn how to fire them. A lot of them never even fired a shotgun. So they nearly shot themselves. Very dangerous. And believe it or not, a lot of them went out with, they had pikes, but they had pitchforks and they had everything, even their bare hands to fight. That's all, that's how trained they were. The French were really disappointed with them. And first and foremost, this great 100,000 never appeared. And the few that did appear, they were ill-trained, hadn't a clue. And that's why that Humbert negotiated with Captain Jobbett, Colonel MacDonald and General Blake. They were the men that tried to mobilise them and tried to get some bit of discipline on them, because they never was in an entrenched warfare. And you see, the realities of it is the Battle of Ballinamuck happened more by accident than design. It wasn't designed to happen in Ballinamuck.
The battle was fought on the 8th of September 1798 between the British forces led by Lord Cornwallis and General Lake, with close to 30,000 men who vastly outnumbered the French and Irish. The British forces had tracked Humbert closely as he moved east.
Humbert set out for Granard from Clone on the morning of the 8th of September. Just as they were about to leave, they found out that the chains of the cannon were missing. So that they improvised, which meant it delayed them longer. To substitute the chains, they made ropes made of flax. And this delayed their departure. The Franco-Irish, as they called them, that was French stroke Irish, departed Clone, but they went in different routes. And again, that disrupted them. And a point to note here as well, their footwear, it was the same size fits all. There was size 8, 9 and 10, and you could wear, and there was no such thing as a right boot or a left boot. They were all the same make. You could put the left one on the right if it suited you, and if it didn't, and it cut the feet off them as well. Everything was slowing them down. Right, the first shots were fired on Kilcreva Hill. When they did, Sarrazin, the French officer, whom I said earlier on was in negotiations with a surrender, he surrendered right away, which I have my own doubts about. So the French stroke Irish were strung out a mile because they got confused, as I said, and they had to cross fields to catch up with their... There's two routes which people out there would not be familiar with when they come from Clune. There is two roads to a place there called the Nailor's Cross. People look at, may not know what it is, but they come from two directions and to join forces. And in between, the English were really, really closing in on them, and he surrendered with a couple of hundred of his men. And that really cut down the force. So Humbert had gone ahead, and he was scanning the terrain because he knew that he could not keep going. So he scanned the terrain and he seen Shanmullagh Hill. And where his point for Shanmullagh Hill was to get into the village and get up on the highest ground, but they closed in on him. So prior to going up to the village, he took a left turn up the hill at a place called Cassidy's Lane on the east side of Ballinamuck, and he got in there. Now, General Blake and two other 100 men, which included McGee and Casey, went through to Ballinamuck. Now the English followed them, and they set up their wagon up where the church is now. And they had an ammunition wagon there, and they were with their guns, and they were concentrated their fire on Blake. So Blake moved on to the hill with Humbert. General Blake went on to the hill, and he said he'd help them up, but little did he know that the surrender was taking place at that time. So the Irish, being naive, thought, you know, when the French surrendered and they took the sword from Humbert, that they would get the same. So what they done was they charged them, they massacred them.
So the battle was actually quite short. It was all over in about 2 to 3 hours. Approximately 500 French and Irish lay dead on the battlefield. General Blake, who led the Irish forces, was hanged. Pat Donnelly again explains.
General Blake was hanged. The place, there's a monument, and there's it's signposted actually where General Blake was hanged. General Blake was hanged at the time, it was a place called Jack Griffin's, but it's McKenna's Barn, that's where it was. He was hanged and he was waked in McKenna's Barn and buried at 4 o'clock in the morning. While they were waking him, they went over to Tubberpatrick Graveyard and dug the grave, and had rushes, bushes and everything cut to obscure it in case, because the British were scouring. Do you see, it wasn't enough to kill or hang General Blake. Like the Indian, they wanted the trophy, they wanted his head, they wanted him. It wasn't that he was taken out, they wanted to have General Blake. So they buried him at 4 o'clock in the morning, they carried him across country and buried him at 4 o'clock in the morning.
One of the stories to emerge from the battle was that of Gunner McGee and his heroism. He and another gunner called Casey had acquired 2 6-pounder guns and attacked the Crown Cavalry. However, they soon ran out of ammunition and used whatever makeshift missiles they could muster, including cast iron pots and kettles. Eventually, the stock on McGee's gun was damaged. It is said that 3 rebels volunteered to lift the carriage so that the gun could be fired, which killed one. They were probably the last to be overpowered on the battlefield. McGee has been honoured by being remembered to this day. The French were treated as prisoners of war, treated well and taken to Dublin for eventual repatriation to France, but not so the Irish, many of whom were executed. With regard to the French, a report in Faulkner's Dublin Journal of the 16th of September quoted,
"On Thursday evening last, the French troops captured at Ballinamuck were brought to Dublin under strong escort. The officers, attended by servants, were lodged at the Mail Coach Hotel on Dawson Street. Curiosity has been excited by their arrival, and the street opposite the hotel was through the whole day crowded by spectators."
In stark contrast, the pikemen were slaughtered, and many of those taken were later executed. Some were executed in a place known locally as Bully's Acre, in the village of Ballinalee. This site can be visited at Stop 9, Ballinalee. Folklore tells of women going to the battlefield the next morning to recover the bodies of their menfolk killed in or after the battle. Bodies were crushed beyond recognition, apparently by the cavalry, and the only means they had of identifying their loved ones were by the homespun socks they wore. The British force then slowly spread out into the rebel-held Republic of Connacht, killing any suspected rebel and burning any house encountered. This reached its climax on the 23rd of September, when Killala, County Mayo, was stormed and retaken, with much slaughter. If the weather is good, you can take the historical Shanmulla Hill Walk, which follows the main points of the battle. Your next stop will be Moyne. Watch out for the Moyne Latin School on the right, on a wide bend in the road with a large car park.